Blog Talk Radio.
This meeting is being recorded.
It goes electric, baby, when I turn it on. All through my city, all through my heart.
Good morning. My name is Dr. Peter A. James, and I want to welcome you all this morning to the International Mastermind Association's Think and Grow Rich Show. I am so excited to be here with you all today because we have a panel of phenomenal colleagues up here, hosts, who are going to take you through Think and Grow Rich, this phenomenal book by Napoleon Hill. But not only do I have a panel here that are my colleagues here of a distinguished host, but we have a special guest today, an even more specialer guest, if that's a word, today, this morning, that we're going to enlighten you with, that we're going to hear about her story, her journey, but we're also going to identify how masterminds played a significant role in her life. I'm so excited. I'm beaming this morning, but I don't want to just steal everyone's thunder. I want to pass the baton right away and say good morning to my distinguished host, Pegeen. Let's start off with you. Good morning to you, Pegeen.
Good morning, sunshine, and everybody here. And you know, one of the things I'm so excited about this show, Carol is my, I'm her fangirl. I am in love with this woman. I have known Carol, been around Carol, seen Carol for years and years. And she is the, you know, she is the true hero, especially in the world of diversity and inclusion, but of love, global love. This woman has expanded my world. So the fact that we're talking about mastermind, the fact that Carol was part of a mastermind that I was involved with called the Diversity and Inclusion Peg of a national association, the fact that she, let me just say something, Peter. You are going to fall in love with Carol and everybody watching. You know, we're talking about mastermind today. Mastermind, the moment Carol is with us on this show, every single person will be elevated, moved, and inspired to use their vibration for a higher, you're just going to find that higher level of yourself. So I put my seatbelt on, I have braced myself back, and I am ready for the ride.
Again, you have teased our guest nicely. Yes, we do have Carol Copeland-Thomas with us this morning, and we're going to jump into her shortly. But I cannot forget our distinguished host, Ann McNeil. Good morning to you.
And good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. And I'd like to start by asking our listeners and even our co-hosts, do you want power? That's what this show is about. Because mastermind principle is all about tapping into the power of the infinite, the power of your partners, and just being able to be more powerful with accessing the power of others. So I'm excited to have my mastermind buddy here, Carol Copeland-Thomas, and we're going to have a very exciting show as we discuss this awesome principle.
And you're diving in already this morning with power. As I even think about that word, so many of us, we give power away, but we don't realize how much power we have in and of ourselves. Thank you so much for joining us. And again, those of you who are listening, we are streamed on a number of different platforms, not only on Zoom. Some of you are watching this morning on Zoom, but we're also on Facebook Live. We're also on Blog Talk Radio, which you can also dial in at 661-554-9219. And if you have a question for us this morning or our special guest, don't hesitate to hit number one, and you will be queued in to ask your question. If you are on Zoom, you can use chat, just a number of different ways to get at us this morning. Just loving to dive into this book and by Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. And if those of you who have been watching this, or maybe those of you, this is your first time, we go month by month into these chapters, these 13 16 steps, of course, in Think and Grow Rich. And today is one of my favorites, honestly, in Mastermind. I really hold this topic near and dear to me, Mastermind. We'll dive into that a little bit. But, Pagin, I want to ask if you can do the favor of guiding us through these 13 steps a little bit, just giving the audience an insight. Those of the audience who have not read this book, give them a little flavor of what these 13 steps are that I've been referring to.
Well, I love the way you set that up of the flavor of Think and Grow Rich, because this is a flavorful banquet that will fill you with abundance and riches and prosperity in all aspects of your life. So let me start. Chapter one is desire, the starting point of all achievement, the first step to riches, that desire that you have in you that you just want. You want something. You just want to pay your bills and you want to be abundant and you want to make sure that your life is good. It starts with that desire. Number two, faith, visualization, and belief in the attainment of desire, the second step to riches. Critically important, because you have the desire, but you believe in yourself. And this book shares really great tools and tactics to build your faith. Three, auto-suggestion, the medium for influencing the subconscious mind, the third step to riches. And this former gang member will tell you that auto-suggestion changed my life, because I didn't know what I didn't know until I figured out that I'm the one that declares who I'm going to be, and I'm the one that declares who I want to go. And auto-suggestion is all about that. Four, specialized knowledge, personal experiences or observations, the fourth step to riches. You have to read this chapter. It's filled with understanding of who you are and how to market yourself so that your brilliance is seen by the rest of the world. Five, imagination, the workshop of your mind, the fifth step to riches. You are blessed with an imagination. And as we get older, we forget to use that imagination. Think and Grow Rich reignites your imagination so you could grow. Six, organized planning, the crystallization of desire into action, the sixth step to riches. The goodness of this book gets you to be clear about your plans, not perfect, but a start to grow you and your business and your life and your family. Seven, decision, the mastery of procrastination, the seventh step to riches. I am, I will, I do. When you declare, you get. Eight, persistence, the sustained effort necessary to induce faith, the eighth step to riches. Persistence to be who you decided to be in every aspect of your life, willing to go to that next level, persistence. Nine, the power of the mastermind, the driving force, the ninth step to riches. OMG, we're going to be talking about that today, because the mastermind is like your funnel to access to information, insights, and opportunities that you never imagined in your life. 10, the mystery of sex transmutation, the 10th step to riches. Now get out of your mind. That is not what you were thinking about, because sex transmutation is about using that energy, that charisma, that ability to induce people to do what you want to do, the way you want to do it. Ooh, it's so good when you learn that tool. 11, the subconscious mind, the connecting link, the 11th step to riches. When you master the subconscious mind, you just have this power that propels you to a whole other level. 12, the brain, a broadcasting and receiving station for thought, the 12th step to riches. That is our energy going through this. Everybody here is right now using their brain to touch your lives, and you're going to feel it, because that's what we've learned how to use it. 13, the sixth step, the door to the temple of wisdom, the 13th step to riches. You have to read the whole book to understand this. And when you understand it, guess what? As we've learned from our dear friend, guide, mentor, supporter, cheerleader, Ann McNeil, you just read this book over and over and over, and that sixth sense
becomes the most powerful part of the book. So we look forward to you reading the book. Absolutely read Thinking for Rich, and that's the basis of this whole program. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you so much, Pagin. And those of you who have never read this phenomenal book, we will definitely include a link to the book in our Zoom chat. We'll also include that on our Facebook page as well. It's really one of those books that, as Ann McNeil says, after you've read it a few times, it begins to read you. And it's not even, and despite what the title says, Think and Grow Rich, it's more than just money and wealth. It's actually a wealth of knowledge, and it's a wealth that you're going to need to take for your entire life. Okay, we've been rambling on enough here, Pagin and Ann. I'm so excited to jump into our distinguished guest. Her name, of course, precedes her, as I told her before the show started, Carol Copeland-Thomas. She is not only an international speaker, she is a world humanitarian. She is an academic, and yes, she is even a mother and a grandmother, but I'm going to let her do the honors. Carol, good morning to you.
Good morning, Peter. It's a pleasure being on this show this morning with my friends, both Ann and Pagin and you, Peter. I'm excited because Pagin has just overviewed Think and Grow Rich and made it exciting all over again. And I just can't say enough nice things about my mentor in many ways, Ann McNeil. It's a delight to be here today.
Awesome, awesome. And we're so excited to have you with us. Just a lot of stuff is going through my mind as I'm thinking about you, as I'm thinking about masterminds. But give us a little, maybe 100-foot view of your history, of your experience, what you do, just so they can give our audience a taste of who Carol Copeland-Thomas is.
I really look at myself as a social entrepreneur. I'm in business. I have a for-profit business, but I definitely am thoroughly engrossed in community activities, working with my community here in the greater Boston area and then my community internationally. So when you combine the two, you're really looking, from my perspective, as someone who is engaged in business, operational activities, moving my business ahead, but never forgetting the community that I'm connected to and with. And I think that's why the mastermind concept makes so much sense, because it's not just you pulling forward, but you working with other people, pulling in a positive direction.
Wow, wow. That's a mouthful right there for sure as well. And so you've given us a great overview of who you are and what you've been doing. Now tell us how that this book, Think and Grow Rich, is interwoven into your past, present, and maybe even about your future as well.
I'll focus on the mastermind perspective, because that's what we're talking about today. I've been in business 33 years. It's hard to believe. I blink and I say, wow, I can't possibly have been in business that long, but I have been. And there have been stages, and I look at the chapters that I've had in my life. I have been in the speaking business for probably 31 of the 33 years. My original business was a temporary employment agency. So I operated that for 2 years. Won a contract with our local phone company around 1989, and then migrated. I said, this really makes sense from my perspective, and then migrated into training. So for a long time, I was a trainer. I ran a training business. I trained managers. I trained supervisors, staff persons in large and small companies and corporations. In addition to that, I also got involved with Career Track, which was a public seminar company. I worked with them for a number of years, and they literally sent me all over the country and out of the country as well. I went to Australia and Canada with them, met the dynamic Thelma Wells, who was just a wonderful mentor for me. I remember hanging out with her, having dinner in Australia many, many years ago, as she was working in Singapore and I was working in Australia. So I had an opportunity to combine working with that organization along with my own clients to now having worked in 45 states in the United States and 7 countries the countries that I have worked in and visited. So I've been around, been there and done that. But this is the point, Peter, is that I realized early on, if I was going to be contemporary, if I was going to be competitive, I couldn't continue to do the same things over and over again. I had to do things differently, but always principled and always in collaboration with my colleagues and with the industry that I served. So with that said, in 1995, I got involved in the National Speakers Association, have been a member ever since, served as my chapter president here in New England. And then started, as Pagin had said earlier, the diversity emphasis PEG. It was called that at that time, and was the original chairperson of that group, working with Lenora Billings Harris and Tracy Brown and so many others that who are part of the National Speakers Association. So I've had an evolution in my business, in my life, again, these chapters that have taken part both professionally and personally, and all of that has led up to who I am today. So I can't say I am today without acknowledging who I was back in 1987.
I love that. I love the journey that we're able to visualize through your career overall. And before I pass the baton over to Pagin and Anne, I got a question about this mastermind thing, because I can hear it unfold already in your journey as you've given it to us. How has the power of the mastermind influenced your success, influenced your journey, but influenced who you are today? What have you taken away from this connection?
That's an evolution and chapter building also. Mm-hmm. I started off probably 20 years ago, 25 years ago, working with small groups, probably one or two different mastermind groups, an outgrowth of the National Speakers Association and the New England chapter, of which I've been a part, obviously, for this length of time. Mm-hmm. So I had the experience working with other people. We worked successfully for probably a short period of time, and then life steps in, people move on, they move in other directions, so they were short-lived. Mm-hmm. I've worked with ethnically mixed mastermind groups. I've worked with mastermind groups with all one race. But I think the mastermind group that has sustained me the longest, I have to give credit to Ebony Speakers. There are four of us. We've been in business in terms of working collaboratively since 2007, so now 13 years. And Deborah Gould, Nancy Lewis, and Michelle Portia, we have hung together as sister girlfriends and as encouragers. So I've learned from them. I laugh with them. We have a meeting once a month. We're actually going to get together this coming Monday to do some work. So I have to look at them in terms of long-term sustainability. The second group are the mastermind experiences that I've had through Ann McNeil and the Think and Grow Rich concept through Black NSA.
Wow. Just some phenomenal stuff. I can really see how the collaboration with like-minded individuals has benefited you. And Pagin, you're right. She's a gem. She's really a gem right here.
She's a road warrior.
We have to glean as much as we can from her, huh?
I have to tell you, Peter, that one of the things that was just coming up, and I'm so glad that you're here, Carol, but one of the things that was coming up as I was listening to Carol, it was, so when we talk about masterminds and we talk about, you know, how do you, people always say, how do I find a mastermind? Where do I look for a mastermind? So Carol and I have been in the same, well, I didn't realize that we both joined the same year of NSA. And so here we are in the same world, the same time, and it never dawned on me, and this is what I wanted to, talk to you, Carol, it never dawned on me to say, hey, Carol, you know, we're in the same field. Let's have our mastermind together. Let's work. You know, it just wasn't a thought that I had at that moment. You know, now, of course, I'm also realizing that I put Carol on this pedestal, so it's kind of hard to be the person looking up.
No.
No. It may be wrong to have done it, but I know that I've done it. So I'm so glad that you're here, because, you know, what So now that you've experienced masterminds all these years,
mm-hmm.
those who are watching, who, you know, I'm reflecting back when I was younger, what would you say to people about looking for and being in a mastermind? What was the things that you've learned that have enriched you in knowing how to seek a mastermind? Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to have questions from your audience. I know you have the various platforms where you're streaming, so I would love to have an engaged conversation along with the panelists, including you, Pagin. When you are an entrepreneur, when you are a business owner, it is important for you to connect with like-minded individuals. And it's important for you to reach up. I have to go back and look at the women in my life, mostly Black women in my life, my mother, my grandmothers, my godmother, women I admire and have learned to admire, women I met early on when I was a college student, and then early on in Mary Kay Cosmetics when I was in college, including Juanita Abernathy. I met her and we became sales directors in Mary Kay, became the first spinoffs for Ruel Cohn, who was the first national Black sales director in Mary Kay Cosmetics way back in the 70s. So again, it's been these chapters, these progressive milestones that have taken place where I emulate, in this case, women, and I emulate and look up in terms of where I want to go and grow. And that means you cannot do that on your own. You have to look at other people, and that's been my guiding force. Clearly, women in my life, women in my family. I do the same with my daughters now. And so because of the nature of the National Speakers Association and how we connect and we build relationships, but again, you foster this whole sense of working with other people and gaining strength from others so that when you're having your downtime, you have others who can pick you up. And when they have their down times, then you can pick them up. That also is a part of it. But also just the challenge points. And I'm going to also throw in there the accountability partners that I've had. Robin Thompson, who is also a part of the National Speakers Association, now living in Colorado, has been my friend since about 2001 or 2002. We met at a workshop with NSA. We connected immediately. I'm African-American. She's white. She's from West Virginia originally. I'm from Michigan originally. But there was something about that workshop and doing some buddy work and partner work, and we just clicked. And we became official accountability partners for probably 5 or 6 years. I forget the timeline. Again, we would meet every month. We would call each other. She challenged me to finish my first book, and I would challenge her on her activities, and that's how the relationship grew and expanded. She came to my daughter's wedding, so we became fast friends, and we're still friends to this day. So again, I'm looking at these relationships, these partnerships, business focused, but they go beyond that. And that really spells out the importance of either accountability partners or some kind of mastermind group that helps and builds you, but you also contribute to the building of other people.
And I love how you're talking about this, because one of the things that you do, which I think is very unique and very brilliant, is your, I'm going to call it the mastermind of expanding people's experiences in the world. So you take a group of, usually I see it as women, going to India. And I don't remember how long they go. I think it's a week or two. But that experience of expanding, of you leading, I'm going to call it a mastermind, to expand people's perceptions of the world. Mm-hmm. How did you come to do that? What is the masterminding experience that occurs during those trips? Can you share a little bit about that? Because I think that people who are watching don't realize that you can lead a mastermind in so many ways.
Thank you, Pagin, for asking that. I have to go back, and I mentioned to you women in my life, and there are men in my life who have really encouraged me. So when it comes to travel, I first have to give credit to my father because he was the world traveler when I was growing up. He traveled to Africa in the late 50s, worked with a group of men, ended up starting a business. The business failed, but he remained and stayed in Africa and then ultimately became part of the State Department, living both in Accra, Ghana for 10 years and then Nairobi, Kenya for 10 years. So the travel piece, I have to say, probably inherited that. Secondly, in 2005, because of Irma Thibodeau, she's now Reverend Irma Thibodeau, I jumped on board and went to Kenya. This was a vacation. It ended up being 10 women, 10 black women. We pretty much knew each other here in the Boston area, belonged to the same church. And obviously, because I just mentioned to you about my father living in Africa, I always wanted to travel there and had not had an opportunity. We wanted to go. Things happened in the early 60s. My grandfather passed away, my divorced, and that sort of dreams deferred precluded me actually going at that time when we were supposed to go in the early 60s. So I fast forward this love of travel, this real interest in other countries became a reality in 2005 when I had a chance to take my first trip to Kenya. I went with 10 women. We bonded. Here we go, bonded again. And as a result of that trip, two things happened. Number one, we decided to stay together and we formed the Kenya Sisters. We operated for about 5 years, raised money, sent back money to Kenya, had very strong ties, which I still have today. And number two, as a result of that first trip to Kenya, I met a young man who was our tour guide for a village, a community village, an ethnic village in Mombasa where you would tour and you would find out more about the local cultures, the tribes, et cetera. And he was fascinating. He was very knowledgeable. Probably was 18 or 19 years old at that time, 17, I forget the age group. And I asked him, I said, my goodness, where do you go to school? Thinking that he went to high school. He spoke several languages. And he said, sorry, ma'am, I don't go to school because there are fees you have to pay. My family can't afford the fees. I asked him on the spot, how much does it cost to go to school? He told me it was a sum that I didn't seem insurmountable. And I instantly, without even making any decision, said, I'll send you to school. Then went back on the bus, talked to my friends. One of my friends jumped up and said, fine, I'll co-host him. We put him through high school. We had other friends, including a local judge here in Massachusetts, put his brother through high school and literally changed the trajectory of their family. So now they're a family of high school graduates. This young man, Naftal Kiambo, who is my Kenyan son, has now married, has children. He's putting himself through college. He's helping his family members, and he has a small business that's doing quite well in construction. And this is the first time I can say this. And I've talked to him and model him and mentor him to this day. I've made other trips to Kenya. And now when I was there last November, taking a very small group to Kenya, he actually, for the first time, as we were traveling around, he treated me. He paid for my little expenditures, et cetera, when I was taking the group on tour. He paid for the tour guide. He paid for the car that picked us up and brought us back. And so the circle continues. You never know what's going to happen when you just go out, step out on faith, collaborate, obviously, with others, and do these things. So I have very strong connections in Kenya that then led to strong connections now in India. That trip came about as a result of my church and, again, me wanting to go to India, not knowing how I could afford to go there. One thing led to another. My pastor went there with a group. I jumped on board in 2014. I've been going to India ever since. I love the country. I said, I love the Indians. I love the country. I'm wearing Indian garb now. And it's just been a real love affair in terms of that. So as a result of that, since 2015, I've been taking groups, cultural tour groups to India, including this year. where we've gone. We spend February a week or two in India. I just heard back from someone that I met in India who was a hotelier. So the relationships are extremely strong. We have a WhatsApp group. So again, I have these circles of people who I've been with either for a short period of time or a long period of time, but certainly travel and tourism and learning go hand in hand with masterminding. That's a long answer, but that'll pretty much wrap us up from that perspective.
I love what you say. I just want to tell you that we have some people that are sharing because of your share. So I'm going to say that Sandy Weaver just posted, Carol, you just gave me goosebumps. What a gift to the world, not just to that young man. So that's awesome. And then Catherine Woodhouse asked me a question. And I'm glad, thank you, Catherine, for posting the question, because I have tons of questions and I know we only have a few times. She asks, what qualities are most important to finding your mastermind group members, especially character-wise?
That's a great question. Thank you for asking that. There has to be some kind of synergy. And I think that's why the other groups lasted just for a short period of time. They were good people, but we didn't have the same chemistry or synergy so that we could stick together and hang together. And as one person was moving in one direction, trying to support that person as you're trying to support yourself. So mastermind, and that's why sometimes you see like-minded people, maybe they're ethnically the same, maybe they're gender-wise the same. So it's not a matter of a segregation perspective. It's a matter of trying to find people where you are moving closely together in the same circles and moving together in the same direction. So I go back to Ebony Speakers. 13 years later, even though we've had life changes galore, in one case, Deborah Gould's husband just passed away in January. Many years they were married, 40 some odd years, I forget how long, and other life experiences. In 1997, I lost my 17-year-old son in a car accident. So again, I look at these groups and these individuals that I've been with, in this case, 13 years, people I've met along the way, like Ann McNeil, all these kind of individuals, having some kind of connection, close connection, so that we can sustain and champion each other as we are moving ahead with our own businesses. And when you find out, person who asked the question, if a group isn't working over a long period of time, if a mastermind group, you have permission to move on. You don't have to hang around and stay all the time just because you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. If you are talking about business or whatever, yeah, you have to be with a group who can help you as you're helping them. And if you find that there is a rub or there's some tension going on, and I've been in those kind of groups, it's time to move on.
I see Ann's head bobbing up and down, as you know, you're saying she's bobbing. So Ann, you know, I know that you, so just share the bobbing. What's going through your head?
Yeah, I want to first of all thank Carol for being willing to come on and share and to go to add value to what she's saying about masterminding and Catherine's question. Napoleon Hill shares that you really need to have two things, and this is a confirmation on what Carol just said. Two things in order to have a successful mastermind group. One is like-minded and one is like-spirited. We all know people who we have a like mind with, but they're not like-spirited. We know a lot of people we're like-spirited, but we would not be in a mastermind group with them, right? And I want to send us all to the first page of the Organized Planning chapter where Napoleon Hill says, and I'll just read for the edification. He says, you know, you will be instructed on how to build plans for which practical to come out your mastermind, solidify your plans. And that's what Carol has been saying. The plans that she's had and her friends have had, they've been able to use the mastermind concept to achieve those goals. He says, ally yourself with a group of as many people as possible to create and carry out your plans. for the accumulation of money. To do this, you will make use of the mastermind principle. But before you form your mastermind alliance, decide what advantages and benefits you may offer the individual members of your mastermind group in return for their cooperation. I'm not going to read all of these. For those of you that's interested, you know, you can go to your Think and Grow Rich book, and the first page of the Organized Planning chapter, he tells you exactly how to start and form an effective mastermind group. So those are the characteristics, Carol, you're asking about. Thank you. Thank you, Carol. Well, yeah. Let me talk about here. Wait, let me ask my Carol question. Carol, you've talked about a lot of different mastermind groups. Can you share with us from your perspective the difference in using this philosophy as your mastermind versus not using this philosophy of Think and Grow Rich, the principles, mixing it with the mastermind group? Can you share your perspective on that, please?
First, I want to say, Anne, I admire, love, respect, and trust you. And you just have no idea the impact that you have had on my life. And I thank all the forces that brought us together through the National Speakers Association, through Black NSA, and through the National Association of Black Journalists, too. So all those kinds of forces bringing us together. I'm glad that you read the pieces from the chapter. You're the master, you're the expert on this. Let me share with you how I affirm what you've said. Number one, I believe that the earlier groups, I'm not really talking about the accountability partner because I think that was just a natural progression where you move in other directions, but you remain friends to this day. But the groups, when you don't have both the common interests and the common spirit, if they're not aligned, then there's not, I think, an opportunity for you to grow long term. You can grow for a season, maybe two seasons, but beyond that point, it is difficult, I think, to sustain that kind of connectivity. So I look at the earlier groups that I've been a part of, again, groups I've started, groups I've been a part of, where that's been the case. Now, that's beside the natural progression of relationships that you have with people where you just things happen and you move elsewhere. But these intentional groups is what I'm really talking about. I believe Ebony Speakers, I have to use them as an example because we've been together 13 years. We have stayed together even though we've had these life changes because ultimately there's been some kind of glue and some kind of commonality, both spiritually and connectivity in terms of business and outreach that has really kept us together. I'm going to use one person for an example, and that's Michelle Portia, who has relocated from the Connecticut area down to the North Carolina area. She's had personal stuff that she's had to deal with, life stuff she's had to deal with. She wanted to leave our group. We refused to let her leave our group. We said, no, no, no. Another thing what we said. We said, no, no, no. We are Ebony Speakers. And even though you are moving in another direction, we need your energy to help us going forward. Now, this sister girl is now, she worked with Habitat for Humanity in North Carolina, and she now successfully closed on her house during a pandemic in March. She built that house with Habitat, and I look at all the other things that happened to her in her life that led her to this moment, and we're so happy and so proud of her. So that's just one example of how we needed her, because when I look at my Medicare that I'm on and her real knowledge of the whole Medicare process and stuff, yes, well, I'm that old, I learned all that from her. She said, you do this, you do this, you do this, you go to this person, you do this. So, again, I look at someone like her where she's in another place in life now, but still very much a part of our Ebony Speaker experience base. So you need two things. You need that business, that head, that interest level, but you definitely need the whole piece about the soul connection, should I say.
I'm sorry, Peter. I just need to ask you. So you wrote the book, Understanding Black Culture,
mm-hmm.
and you have worked with so many companies and organizations over the lifetime of your career. And I know that one of your experiences has been working internally with the employee resource groups, which may – how did they fit in as a mastermind? What have you seen that's worked? Because we have people listening right now who are within companies and organizations and maybe don't even think about their employee resource group as a possible mastermind for them. What would you say, and I'm going to sneak in. I could sneak in 15 questions. But I think that it's important for people to know that organizationally, there may be opportunities. We all talked about our groups in NSA. Can you share about that, masterminding using employee resource groups?
Yes, I know this. You want this to be as evergreen as possible because this will play elsewhere, but I have to mention this. As we are recording this, we're in the midst of a triple pandemic. We're dealing with coronavirus. We're dealing with an economic free fall in many cases where people are losing their jobs, where there's a lot of uncertainty in terms of the economy, and certainly here in the United States. Again, I just received a WhatsApp message from the hotelier who we stayed in their hotel in February. Beautiful hotel. Well, that hotel is closed right now because of the pandemic in India. And then you're looking at the racial tensions that erupted because of the death of George Floyd. So you're looking at an epidemic of biblical proportions that we haven't seen in our lifetime. Certainly the Spanish flu happened 102 years ago when my grandparents were living and my mother was born and my parents were born in 1917. But we haven't seen it in our lifetime. So now is the time to look at these ERGs as being groups and a place of refuge where people can go of like minds, whether they're veterans or women or Latinx community or African Americans or the African diaspora, whatever you're talking about, these groups can be places where people can find shelter, strength, and integrity to perform better on their jobs. Now, I've worked with ERGs, as you said, Pagin. I've worked with them all over the country. I think two elements are important for their success. I'm actually talking to some organizations now. I'm looking at my board up there that says Cabot ERGs because we're talking, talking in terms of doing some business together. Those ERGs have to have financial support from some kind of executive sponsor within their organization. They have to have that. They really can't worry about doing a lot of fundraising and all that stuff and do their jobs because they're internal organizations. Number two is that they have to have strong leadership inside of the ERG for sustainability. A lot of ERGs fall apart because they may have the funding source in place, but if they don't have the internal leadership in place, they're not going to make it. So typically, companies will bring me in to work with the leadership. I'm now being sponsored again by State Street Corporation here in Boston. It's a multinational company. They sponsor my multicultural symposium series. And more than likely, I will be working with their ERGs. They have 24 ERGs in their company. They have like 30,000 employees, but I'll probably be working with them. Again, the internal leadership, understanding what the vision is, understanding the purpose, and this is just going right hand in hand with Think and Grow Rich. Having that as the foundation will help these ERGs to sustain themselves, to grow, to be respected, to be populated throughout an iteration of leadership as people move on, move out, and move over so that new people can take over. I look at Lynette Sanders, who works. She's the vice president at the State Street Corporation. I've known her for many years. She is on building ERGs. You ought to have her on her show, on your show, Lynette Sanders. She has a formula. She knows the template, how it's worked within their organization. And a lot of what you're saying in terms of leadership, strong leadership, and she is a very strong leader, along with this whole endorsement and support from the parent organization are the key for the sustainability. So you can have ERGs. State Street now has 24 ERGs. They had 30 some odd a few years ago, and but they've settled in at about 24, which is amazing for a company of any size. But when you look at the best practices of these companies, those two factors are really, really important in terms of support from the parent organization, but very strong and nurtured leadership from within the ERG.
You know, you've been actually just resonating with me. I'm actually working with a couple of organizations right now and their ERGs, so I might have to pick your brain a little bit further about that. You know, as we dive back into masterminds and in a short time that we have here, I want to also glean your knowledge, glean your experience. Here at the International Mastermind Association, we have an annual meeting that occurs at the beginning of every single year that you have been a part of as well. And I think this is a phenomenal example of the power of masterminds, especially from a calendar year perspective, a lifetime perspective, as you're thinking about that and planning what your future, what you desire your future to look like. Can you share with us a little bit of your experience as you have attended this phenomenal event?
As I think about my relationship with Ann McNeil and the small micro group that we formed with the late Shirley Burke, bless her heart, we would meet every week and talk about our business pursuits and our business activities. And as we got to know Ann better, and as we collaborated with her, we learned about the annual summit that was held in January. And I immediately, this is in late 2018, I met Ann years before, but really moved forward with the Black MBA, Black NSA experience when we formed mastermind groups in 2017 and 2018. I was part of that experience in 2017 and then 2018, and then said, yeah, I want to go to this annual meeting that was held on the 5th of January. I'm looking at my letter to self right now in 2019. So there was homework to do getting ready for the annual meeting. There was also someone else from Ed Marsh, who was part of my NSA New England chapter. He also attended the same mastermind group, the same annual meeting in 2019. So it was fun that I knew he was going to be there and other people, and obviously was going to be led by Ann. But it was an amazing experience, a real purging of your self experience, preparing for it, because Ann has a remarkable inventory that she goes through that's part of her training process, that's part of what she does with her clients or coaching clients or VIP clients, and she has shared it with us in the mastermind group. So I found that to be gut-wrenching. It was hard because you had to be honest with yourself. And that's the hardest thing to do. But it was great preparation leading up to this two-day meeting. It was really a weekend, but a two-day meeting that was held. Started off with the reception that was held the night before, on the Friday before, and there were testimonies. It was also very family-oriented. So Anne encourages you to bring family. And so there were family groups that were there. Her daughter Ione was there teaching as well. Her other daughter was there. A grandbaby was there. So it was a real family affair. But you got a chance to get to know people on the Friday night. And then Saturday was the whole indoctrination and just really moving into this inventory, the assessment, looking backwards, but definitely focused on, in that case, 2019 and moving forward. I look at this letter to self and I say, yeah, I still have some work to do as a result of it. I look at the books that I got from her, Anne's three books, her workbook. I'm looking at them right now. I'm looking at Think and Grow Rich. So it was a turbocharged experience. And I know as we're going forward and looking at 2021, I hope that there will be either a hybrid, some version of an online, a virtual experience, and obviously face-to-face if possible, just based on the coronavirus predicament that we're in right now. But it is an extraordinary self-cleansing process, working with other people to really help get your year started in the right direction.
I love that, Carol. Self-cleansing, yes.
Yeah.
I really
a lot of that.
experience that wholeheartedly every single year that I have attended as well. So thank you so much for sharing that also. So we don't have too much time left with you, Carol. And I'm excited to talk with my host here and have them share some of their ahas from listening to you. Those of you who are watching or listening, please don't hesitate to ask any last minute questions here. But also I want to ask my guest here and also you, Carol, towards the end there to share how we can get in touch with you, how our audience can connect with you after this show. So Pagin, what are some of your ahas and share your contact information, please?
Oh, well, Pagin, you're on mute.
We need to hear you, Pagin.
You know, I have to make sure that sometimes I just have to unmute to receive what I need to receive, and not think. I don't need to be present. So I've learned a lot. What I also walked away with was a new business opportunity for me, of which, thank you, Carol, because you got my head spinning on something that you said. I went, I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. So again, this is where the mastermind comes together and you get filled. And for everybody watching, do I run a mastermind group specifically for women speakers, experts, and authorities, and those leaders who want to be an expert and authority in their industry? And you can always go to powerwomenelite.com to join this incredible group. We meet every single Tuesday, twice. On Tuesday, 1 at 12 o'clock. So if you're a lunchtime person on the East Coast, if you're an early riser on the West, or if you're in England and Europe, you can join the 12 o'clock. We have a 6 o'clock for everyone else, and it's worldwide. It's a powerful prosperity mastermind that's about being bold, brave, seen, heard, and being paid well. Because when women are paid well, everybody is happy. So follow me up there at Power Women Worldwide and Power Women Elite. That's the best way to get in. Carol, I adore you. I love you. Mm-hmm. I am honored to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Pagin. Thank you. Mutual Admiration Society.
Pagin, I got to remember that when women are paid well, everything works well. So I'll definitely keep that in the back of my head as well. And McNeil. Please share how we can stay in touch with you, but also some of your ahas with our discussion this morning.
Well, let me start with yours. I'm writing that one down. When women are paid well, I'm going to say all things work well. Based upon what Pagin said, and we're going to build on what you're saying and tell my husband about that. Boyfriend, I called him. Carol, you said so many things, and I want to thank the team for asking the questions about the, you call them the ERGs. For the rest of us, that means, that acronym stands for?
Employment Resource Group, Employee Resource Group, ERG.
Okay, everybody else, that's what that stands for. I just want to make sure that we all knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Dora, you shared, and we've masterminded for years, like you said, the three of us, you, myself, and God bless her spirit, Shirley. And I've been a part of the experience virtually as you went on the trips. But to hear your story today gave it another life, gave another life to it for me, and the power that. And I thank Cindy for making the comment because it just took it to another level for me. Now, I made a commitment to Pagin, And you just reminded me, and actually you convicted me, because you're talking about my book. I'm reaching for it. I don't have anything near me. So if you could just do me a favor and just pull it up and share with the world, because again, I'm working on keeping my commitment to she and I committed to each other for the book. Those of you that wonder, what is she talking about? I wrote this book called How to Start and Run a Successful Mastermind Group. Thank you so much, Carol.
Yes.
And you can get it. You can get it online. You can get it at my website at amicno.com. And Fakim had to. She also wrote a book called Kick Your What?
Sometimes you need to kick your own butt.
All right. So that's the name of Fakim's book and the name of my book. I have three. But it's focusing on the mastermind philosophy and principle and how to. And so we read a lot about a lot of different books and things, but for us to actually use this mastermind concept and apply the principles, you can use the principle of mastermind on any book. Take any book which you read and you say, this is a really good book, and go a little bit further than creating a study group. Create a mastermind group of accountability. And so my aha from this session today with you, Carol, is just a constant reminder that the power really is in the connections and the relationships we build with each other. Mm-hmm. And nobody told us that it was temporary. It's life. It's for the lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to thank you for coming on and sharing. Of course, we talk all the time. But thank you, and I'll turn it back over to you, Peter.
Oh, wait a minute. I want to jump in on your calls.
Your energy charging, battery charging.
We need a third person to plug in.
All right, thank you.
And how do we get in touch with you?
Well, you can reach me, at my website at annmcneil.com. Thank you. I have to really work on this stuff. I am so focused on serving and giving for the spirit and uplifting of others. And so y'all pray for me and help uplift me and help uplift others. So annmcneil.com, and that's the best place to reach me, annmcneil.com. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anne. Before I wrap up with my ahas, we do have a question really quick, Carol, from Catherine. She says that it sounds like you're in a ton of mastermind groups. How do you suggest that we manage and juggle all of ours and still have time to live and do our business?
Well, as I said, I was giving you the historical reference points of the mastermind groups that I've been a part of for now 25 or 30 years. So now it's principally maybe two or three groups that I'm a part of. And obviously one of them is the relationship I have with Anne McNeil, and then the Ebony Speakers being the other. So it's not a lot. I've got two beautiful daughters, two sons-in-law, two grandchildren. So I have family responsibilities also. So you find a way, and I tend to be careful how I share my information, because for some people it may seem like a huge overload where they just become overwhelmed with, my God, how does she do all that? But again, all my stuff is connected. It is all connected, and that's what sustains me. I mentioned at the very beginning that I'm a social entrepreneur. So yes, business is definitely the main thrust, but I have all of these other sustainability, these social, these spiritual components that make me a whole person.
Yeah, let me jump in. I want to jump in here too, and thank you so much, Catherine, for that question, because when Carol was sharing, it reminded me of the fact that, again, our family, we have a family mastermind group inside of our family, and you, Catherine, are part of a mastermind, and thank you for being a part of our Clarity Mastermind, which we meet once a month. We're also a part of the Black NSA Mastermind, which meets in the fall once a week on Monday. And for me, to answer your question, and this didn't know you directed to Carol, I just want to share with everybody. For me, it's a way of accountability, but in every single area of my life. So then I set the goals in the beginning of the year, and the accountability to achieve that specific goal is intentionally congruent. It was something that Nito Cobain said about all the things that he does. And for those of you that know Nito, you know, he's a college president. He is on at least probably 10 national boards, corporations, publicly traded corporations, in addition to being a professional speaker and all of these many things. And he was sharing with me one day, he said, Ann, this is years ago, he said, everything you do should be intentionally congruent. Everything you do should be intentionally congruent. So for me, Catherine, to go to your question, and this is for edification of everybody, so every area of my life is connected to every other area of my life. And so when I'm in one area investing energy, it's impacting all the other areas. And I'm held accountable by the mastermind groups that I'm in for the investment of that energy. So I just wanted to share that, and thank you so very much. That was an excellent question. Excellent question.
Can I just jump in on this? Because when we talk about Thank You Grow Rich in the mastermind groups, one of the things that he's very specific about is the mastermind group within your business. And so your team, your connections on whoever you're hiring, whether they be virtual or not, they are part of your mastermind, and that is an important mastermind. And we don't think about it. We think about them as employees or vendors, except the whole point of you all working together, not for anything, is for you to make money and you to have impact. That's why you hire them. And Ann runs a bunch of companies, and Peter and I can affirm that Ann starts really early in the morning. So we have our mastermind. So we are here in this program with all of you, and it doesn't just happen. So we are part of a mastermind to create this program, which requires us at 6:30 a.m. every Wednesday for us to meet with joy and happiness in pajamas to talk about this. But she's already hosted several other meetings before that with her teams on all her various businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And that has taught me to hold my own mastermind meetings with my subcontractors, my vendors, and when we had 50 employees, I hosted every single day at 4:30 a mastermind review so people can tell me where they were coming from and what were the things. And Peter, I learned from working with the military, that's when we went over everybody's report, what worked, what didn't, what needs to be fixed. And so I think that you have to think about mastermind for your self-development, mastermind for your family, mastermind for your spirit, mastermind in your business. But the concept of the mastermind, per Think and Grow Rich, is the like-minded spirit of mission. And if we're not all on that same place, that's why you're not going to be on this in the same mastermind. So I just wanted to share that. And Thad Corbett said, great teaching. Thank you. So thank you, Thad, for sharing. Sorry, Peter, go back to you. God, I'm not sorry at all. I'm really happy that I just said that.
And I'm really happy as well, Pagin. Thank you so much for sharing with us. And there's so many pearls that came out of this meeting today, Carol. Thank you so much for sharing them. I'm going to read an excerpt from this mastermind chapter that really resonated as you were telling your story. It says, economic advantages may be created by any person who surrounds himself or herself with the advice, counsel, and personal cooperation of a group of people who are willing to lend wholehearted aid in a spirit of perfect harmony. That is the essence of the mastermind. So my name is Dr. Peter James. You can find me on any social media platform at Dr. Peter A. James. That's at DrPeterAJames. Carol, how can our audience stay in touch with you?
Peter, it's been wonderful being interviewed by you, and I wish you the very best with your business. Definitely Pagin, your business, and McNeil, your businesses. Thank you all so much for having me on today. Simply, you can reach me at carolcopelandthomas.com. That's my name, Carol Copeland Thomas, and that's Carol with an E, CopelandThomas.com. Also, my newest guidebook, I want to come out with a number of guidebooks. The one that I am focused on now is Understanding Black Culture. You can get it at that website. I believe in the chat room there's also information about that. And also, I'm excited because I am preparing for my 14th multicultural conference that will come up very shortly in November. Again, I know this is time sensitive, but for those who are listening before November 5th and 6th, 2020, we'll have now a virtual conference because of the era that we're in. It's my 14th. And again, you can go to MSS Global Summit, mssglobalsummit.com, to learn more about the Multicultural Symposium Series, my membership with that, and all the exciting things where I'm connecting the world together through multiculturalism.
Awesome stuff there, Carol. Excited about that. Hopefully we can get all that in the chat as well. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a phenomenal show this morning. Anne Pagin and, of course, our distinguished guest, Carol, thank you so much for being a part of this Think and Grow Rich Mastermind show.
Thank you.
If all hearts are and minds are clear, this is the conclusion of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to stay with us. Stay connected with us on Facebook. Stay connected with us, of course, in the Zoom and Blog Talk Radio. Let us know if you have any questions or comments, or if you know that there should be some special guests that should be part of this show. And until next time, look forward to seeing you all and hearing from you all. Again, thank you all, and thank you, Carol. Have a great day.
All right, music, Bikin, music. La 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 da 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 da, cause I don't have it ready. Da 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 da. There we go. Oh yeah, we're done. We're done. I'm thinking grow rich.
Oh,
we're
done.